Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, it's really great that you have joined us. Michigan companies are constantly vying for subsidies and incentives from lawmakers with the promise of creating more jobs. Think of how often we talk about the way that we should be growing our economy, how we get more people opportunities to work, and how much those discussions involve payments, big payments, to companies who say, hey, give us the money, we'll create the jobs. And that kind of goes double for the auto industry. It is the most significant economic engine we have here in Michigan, and it's still a dominant player in the field. And automakers definitely throw their weight around from time to time to keep this going. Just this week, GM announced that it is going to invest over $6.5 billion in Michigan through 2024 to increase electric truck production and to build a new EV battery cell plant, which will yield thousands of Michigan jobs. When they say these things, you can just feel the excitement that we get here in Michigan that, hey, they're gonna build a new plant. They're going to retrofit this plant to do something that we need in the future. But let's be honest, GM did not do this out of goodwill. To get these projects done, $600 million of direct Michigan taxpayer money is going to GM and its business partner, LG Energy. In a new column in Cranes, Chad Livengood questions whether this is the best way to develop Michigan's economy and if we maybe shouldn't be chasing different kinds of jobs, knowledge sector jobs, like those being created at Ford's new future headquarters in Detroit's old train station. That's where we begin the conversation today. What is the best way to grow jobs? What is the best way to grow the economy? We've had this debate forever in this state and forever in this country. And this week's news about GM suggests we're still thinking very much in the old way about how to make sure that there's opportunity and that the economy can churn in a way that helps everyone. I want to welcome Chad Livengood. He is senior editor at Cranes Detroit. He covers public policy and has a column that is titled Losing the Wrong War, Why Winning Knowledge Economy Jobs is About More Than Writing Big Checks. Chad, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stephen.
So let's start here. What was the deal that GM and LG Energy got? And what do they say they're going to do with all this money?
Yeah, so GM and LG Energy's entire incentives package totals $820 million. It's by far, for a single package project, probably the largest project in incentives package in state history for one project. Just to kind of, for people's knowledge, Dan Gilbert got a tax incentives valued at $614 million for his multiple downtown Detroit office building projects, including the skyscraper at the old Hudson site. So this package blows that cost out of the water. The bigger thing that is kind of unusual about this, for the first time in state history, taxpayers in Michigan are writing a direct check, cash money, of $600 million straight to General Motors and its battery partner for the construction of a new battery plant up in Eaton County, just on the west side of Lansing, and for the expansion of the Orion Township Assembly Plant, where they'll be building a new all-electric Chevy Silverado. The GM is promising to create up to 4,000 jobs. So if you just do the math, you take away, and then on top of that $600 million, GM is getting another $66 million of infrastructure improvements. This is coming out of another direct fund from taxpayers. So you can say it's $660 million of just general tax dollars. The rest is going to be a tax abatement, so they won't pay property tax for this expansion in Orion Township and this new plant in Eaton County for about 15 years. The total cost comes out to $166,500 per job. So what kind of jobs are we getting? In Orion Township, we're getting $27 an hour average wage production jobs. It comes out to about $56,000 a year. Mm-hmm. In Oakland County, that is $23,000 below the median household income in wow. Oakland County. So we're not in the qualifications. I mean, we had a program a few years ago called Good Jobs for Michigan. These jobs in Orion Township wouldn't even qualify for the good jobs. You'd have to be closer to $29 an hour to make that designation. So we have really kind of lowered the bar here in the thirst to get a battery plant. And let me make clear, we've lots of construction jobs created by this, and it's going to, you know, spur economic development for a while. But long term, we're not creating wealth and prosperity through these continued hunt for manufacturing production jobs. And my piece this week in Cranes, I'm trying to focus in on we have an opportunity. Michigan, Detroit has an opportunity with Ford's project at the train station, where Ford is promising to bring 2,500 of its own engineers, tech workers, computer programmers in, and also 2,500 partners from other companies to work on the development of autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles. This is the ballgame now in the automotive industry. The company that can invent the programming that makes a car drive itself is going to win the day. And it's no longer about horsepower. It's about who can actually create that vehicle that is going to be safe and use as less fuels as possible. And Ford has made a bet that if they build this cool, hip campus in Gorktown, that they will attract the best talent. They're going up against General Motors. General Motors went and bought an autonomous vehicle company in San Francisco called Cruise in 2016. There are now 2,000 highly paid tech workers for GM working in San Francisco. They don't work at the Drensen. They don't work at the Warren Tech Center. They pay taxes to the state of California. And we already have evidence that we're losing this battle for the auto tech jobs. Rivian, which went public, its stock is triple the price of Ford right now. Rivian was born in Michigan, in Plymouth. They still have a tech center in Plymouth, but they moved their headquarters to Irvine, California in June of 2020. And we didn't hardly even notice in this state that we lost this unicorn electric truck startup company in the middle of the night and lost all that tech talent as well. So we have two cases here where the tech talent is moving to Silicon Valley to be closer to compete with the big tech companies of Google and Apple and Amazon. And our auto industry is really going to be dependent upon knowledge and innovation more than muscle and working on an assembly line.
So I absolutely want to get our callers going on this. I know there are a lot of people with really strong opinions about the way we grow and attract jobs here. So give us a call. Let us know what you think about this new deal for General Motors. Let us know what you think about the overall approach that we take here in Michigan to attracting and growing jobs, the massive incentives that move from government to private industry to help them build things or open things that they say will create jobs and wealth. Do you think we get sufficient return from those things? Do you feel like we're getting the jobs that we need? Do you think our economy is growing the way it should? Or do you think we ought to be thinking about this really differently and coming up with other ways to lift, especially people on the lower end of the economic scale, to a higher standard of living? As always, the number on the phones here is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page, put comments there, or go to Twitter, and you can put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation as well. But Chad, I want to just throw out the line that we always hear when you question these kinds of incentives, and it goes like this: well, this might not be the best way to grow jobs, but if Michigan unilaterally disarms in the incentives race, well, these companies would just go somewhere else. Can you imagine if GM announced that it was going to spend $6.5 billion in Indiana, or worse, someplace like Tennessee or North Carolina, places that really want to attract the auto business that we still have here in Michigan? So that is what both business leaders and politicians say all the time. What's the answer to that question?
Well, and that's exactly what happened here. Was Ford Motor Company said, hey, we and a battery partner are going to spend $11 billion in Tennessee and Kentucky, building three battery plants and a new vehicle assembly plant down in Tennessee. This is what got Michigan lawmakers and the governor in motion to write a check for $600 million this week to General Motors. Because, and essentially, just for people's understanding, Tennessee is giving Ford a $500 million direct cash subsidy for a battery plant and an assembly plant. And so this $600 million is right kind of in line with the current market rate, so to speak, for direct subsidies of these jobs. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be pursuing these jobs or pursuing battery plants, but we don't have any policies that are pursuing knowledge-based work in this state. We do not have a coherent higher education policy in Michigan. The policy for the past two decades has been, initially was to disinvest, and it's been stagnant reinvestment or and return to state support of public universities and public education. We rank as a state dead last in the country in state-supported financial aid for college.
Wow,
number 50. I mean, we talk about top 10 state status, and business leaders in this town talk about this all the time, and they go to Mackinac Island and they hold conferences about it until we're blue in the face. But we're not doing anything to lower the cost of college to attend here, either as an in-state student or out-of-state student. We should be, we have some of the best universities in the planet. Mm-hmm. At the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, and Michigan State and Wayne State. And we are not out marketing those institutions enough and trying to attract people to come to school here and then stay here. We are out trying to attract young tech workers to come live here and to leave the coast, essentially. We have some cases of it. And Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgages now, they may be one of the success stories in that regard, because they couldn't find the talent here. They've had to go out and recruit it from other corners of the country. This is the only way we're going to grow. I mean, we had just kind of remarkable split-screen moments this week. Last week, GM CEO Mary Barra was in San Francisco testing out and riding around in an autonomous car developed by those GM engineers working for the Cruise unit out in San Francisco. Then she was on stage with the governor on Wednesday announcing this big investment in manufacturing plants here in the state. The next day, the next day, General Motors came out in a news story and said they're hiring 8,000 tech workers, software engineers, cybersecurity experts, all kinds of technical jobs that are high-paying jobs. Hmm. And here's the reality with COVID now, Stephen. Those jobs don't need to be done at the Warren Tech Center or the Renaissance Center anymore. Right. You can live in Boulder and work for General Motors, presumably, like a lot of companies right now that are desperate for computer programmers and other types of in-demand tech jobs. You don't have to be physically planted in a city anymore. So we have an existential crisis on several fronts. Part of that's been sort of brought on by COVID, but also brought on by our policies that are just more focused on winning these big projects for headlines and congratulatory press conferences with 15 people stand up and talk, and we're less focused on producing four-year degrees for the fields that our own companies are telling us they need people
they
in.
Want,
and we didn't
want.
Have to pay anything for those 8,000 jobs, by the way.
Yeah.
We paid mightily on Wednesday for 4,000 lower paying assembly jobs. And then we didn't have to pay a dime for GM to say, hey, we need 8,000 tech workers right now.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about growing the economy, adding jobs, and whether we're getting that right here in Michigan. We want to hear from you. We'll get to the phones next. 313-577-1019 is the number. Amanda in Detroit, Brian in Dearborn, Bernadette in Old Redford will get you first. You can also go to social media, Facebook or Twitter, put comments there, and we'll include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
Music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 101.9 WDET.
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. As always, thanks for tuning in. My guest is Chad Livengood, a senior editor at Crain's Detroit Business. We're talking about the big news this week that GM announced it's going to invest $6.5 billion in Michigan through 2024 to increase electric truck production and build a new EV battery cell plant. But that investment doesn't come without some really expensive strings. $600 million of direct Michigan taxpayer money is going to GM to incentivize this. We're asking whether that's the right way to grow the economy, to grow jobs, and whether different kinds of investments in different kind of jobs would yield bigger returns. We're going to hear from you as well. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook or Twitter, put comments there. We'll work you in that way. We're going to start today with Amanda in Detroit. Amanda, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Stephen. I've worked for many years in outreach at both the elementary or middle school, high school level, and right now I'm working with adults. And we're failing miserably in switching from a manufacturing-based economy to a knowledge-based economy because we're focusing on, one, the language of jobs versus careers. A knowledge-based economy needs different sets of skills. And if you look not just at the end result, at the post-secondary education market point of it, but you look further back on along the line in the high school, middle school, elementary school, we're failing at teaching people the skills that are necessary to function in a knowledge-based economy. It's the soft skills, the creativity, mm-hmm. the thinking. We're still focused on command and control classrooms. We're still focused on rote memorization and standardized testing. So, of course, we don't have the skills that companies are telling us that we need to have to get people into these high-paying careers. And we don't have the infrastructure otherwise in the state because our schools are in such poor condition to attract the people from the coast to want to move here. And with the accommodations that COVID has afforded us in this sort of sick, twisted kind of way, you don't have to be at the location where you're doing the work. You can fly in every once in a while for a meeting if you have to be in person because somebody feels it necessary to check that box. But we're not positioned for growth for the future.
Yeah.
And we're failing miserably, and we're going to continue to fail miserably.
Amanda, that's a great summation of what we're not doing, what we're not doing right. And, you know, the thing that's frustrating is that we keep having this conversation. I mean, business leaders are saying this as loudly as anyone else, that look, they need a different approach by this state, especially to education, to create the kinds of opportunities that people could take advantage of to work in the future. And we never quite pivot is the thing. I mean, we talk about it, everybody agrees it needs to be done. And then it just doesn't really happen. Amanda, really appreciate the call and the comments. Let's go to Bernadette in Old Redford. Bernadette, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stephen. I know how we can pay for this. You know, I remember a few years ago when big business got that giant $500 million tax cut. Boom, claw that back, and you could pay for it. And I have to agree with Amanda's point. You got to grow some minds who are capable of doing this, and we're not putting the money in education. That's where we can make the investment.
Bernadette, that is a really interesting comment, and I think the issue of clawbacks is something that I think is a somewhat practical way to go about this. Every politician I've asked about it, though, in the last decade has said it's not possible. How would you ever calculate? How would you ever figure out if they actually delivered on these things? But the avoidance when you bring this up really suggests an unwillingness to try to hold businesses accountable in any way for the promises they make. Chad, what do you make of that part of this discussion? The whole idea of saying, look, GM, $600 million better get us X, Y, or Z, or you may owe some of that back.
Yeah, I mean, GM's basic requirements is they have to show at the end of the project they've created the 3,200 to 4,000 jobs at these two plants. And that they've made the capital investment in the cost of the construction of them that they promised. That's essentially the requirement. And that's a requirement for almost all of these projects. We've just never had one of this scale, where we're handing over this vast sum of money, to a single, company, for a couple of different projects. So, we should also note that General Motors is going to continue to collect its mega tax credits. These are the tax credits. They were started under the Engler administration, and they were put on steroids under the Granholm administration back in 2009 when General Motors and Chrysler emerged from bankruptcy as part of the deal to kind of keep these companies intact and keep them in Michigan. Governor Granholm's administration awarded a tax break that essentially refunded the income tax for most of the white collar workers for all three automakers. So if you make $100,000 a year, you get taxed $4,250. GM gets to collect that $4,250 income tax, and they get to keep collecting that until the end of this decade, as we got rid of the Michigan business tax in 2011, we kept it for GM, Ford, Chrysler, now Stellantis, and a handful of tier one auto suppliers that got these tax credits, and so. We should just kind of note that this is a company that basically, for state income tax purposes, is living tax free and has been for the past decade because of policies by the past prior two administrations.
Yeah, Yeah. I want to read a couple of social media comments. Jeff on Twitter says, encourage as much business diversity as possible. Anything other than auto-related, agricultural, manufacturing, or health and medical research terrifies the leadership of this state. We have great universities, but the grads leave because the job market is so limited. Anthony on Twitter writes, they don't call it government motors for nothing. That's a really funny comment. Big Neo on Twitter says, one option would be to have on-site daycare for the employees' children. The problem is that it is difficult for the powers that be to get behind ideas that help the citizens, although they have no issue giving away tax breaks to every corporation that asks for them. Let's go next to Brian in Dearborn. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, Stephen. Hi, Chad. I wanted to bring up a point because you guys were talking earlier about, you know, high-tech jobs and all the talk about how we need more high-tech jobs in Michigan. But, you know, we need to talk about the way that GM and other large companies contract out their tech work within Metro Detroit. It's basically an open secret that any company that wants to do tech work for any of the big three has to basically get 50% of their labor or more from India or other countries. And if it's not an H-2B visa, then it's, you know, essentially a company where the workers are over in those places working remotely. And so, you know, programmers and these quote-unquote tech jobs that everybody says they want to incentivize, they're facing wage competition that they just can't match up against. And so we had a lot of programmers and tech people in the 80s and 90s. We had Unisys and CompuWare and, you know, Burroughs and a lot of these different companies here. But this stuff has been eroded over time because the big three doesn't want to pay for quality labor, quality American labor when it comes to these high-tech jobs. And that's something that nobody wants to talk about. And it needs to be said, because when they get these government incentives to make things here in Michigan, well, you know, some of these, the highest paying, you know, tech jobs are being completely outsourced. And a lot of it happens through their subcontracting.
Yeah, that's
and
a great.
I think that's something that needs to be talked about.
It's a great point, Brian. I'm glad you called and made it. Chad, what about this dimension of what's going on here? I mean, there are a lot of different layers to this issue. This is a really interesting and important one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of layers. I do know that right now in this current job market, companies that need computer programmers are going to any person who has the skills, and they don't really care where they're at anymore. I mean, if they have to go to other states, you can work remotely. And that kind of drives home the point, like, you could work for Quicken Loans as a programmer living in Boulder. And so the larger point here is we need to develop policies to make Michigan more attractive to live, to grow, to raise a family, to buy homes, have affordable housing stock, good roads, all the things that we talk about day in, day out on this show and others. Those policies ultimately are going to help get people to live here. They may not necessarily be employed here, maybe employed somewhere else, but that creates the environment. It creates the marketplace in order to fulfill the jobs of the future.
Okay, Chad Livengood, always great to have you here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining today to talk about these incentives.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we are going to talk about redistricting again. But we're going to talk about something a little different. We're going to talk with journalist Clara Hendrickson about the latest news about legal challenges that threw out the maps in Ohio and Alabama, and whether those suits kind of spell trouble for the new maps here, which are also being challenged. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.